If you'll take your Bibles and open up to Psalm chapter 119 this morning, verses 97 to 104. Psalm 119, 97 to 104. Hundreds of years ago, there were several universities founded on Christian institutions, one of which was Harvard, founded in 1638. According to Harvard's precepts and rules, as adopted 8 years later, it included the following: everyone shall consider the main end of his life in studies to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. It goes on to say, seeing the Lord giveth wisdom, everyone shall seriously by prayer in secret give wisdom of him. Everyone shall so exercise himself in the reading of the scriptures twice a day that they be ready to give an account of their proficiency within. You can leave your Bibles open to Psalm 119 this morning. I'll be reading scriptures throughout the Bible this morning. One of the verses is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, which says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Well, it says, by guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Prior to 1962, reading from the Bible and prayer was a part of the daily opening ceremonies of most schools in America. That is not the case today. However, fault does not lie completely with the law of state and federal government. I read a story about a school inspector, and in the 1950s, in order to get an idea of the standard of teaching at a local school, he visited a classroom and he decided to ask some questions. Calling on one young student, he asked, who broke down the walls of Jericho? The boy answered, sir, I do not know, but it was not me. Turning to the teacher, the inspector asked, is this the usual standard for your classroom? The teacher replied, well, that boy is very honest, and I believe him if he says he didn't do it. Leaving the room in disgust, the inspector explained the incident to the principal. The principal apologetically replied, I have had that teacher for very many years, and I'm sure if she knew who broke down the walls, she would have told you. It's getting worse. By this time, the inspector was furious, and he sought out the chairman of the school board. And after the chairman listened to the story, he suggested that we pay for having the walls fixed and write it off under the heading of repairs. You see, the importance of reading the Bible is of a personal choice. When the Pony Express was instituted, it ran 1,900 miles from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California. An ounce of mail at the time to send would have cost $5. Today, roughly $130 in our currency. It would take that parcel 10 days to get to its destination. To conserve weight, the 40 riders wore very light clothing. Their saddles were very thin. There were no weapons that were carried, conserving weight. Yet each rider was provided a full-sized Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he took it with him despite all the scrupulous weight precautions. If you opened up the red-printed Bible or the yellow-printed Bible on the front to the very first page, it would say, on commencing employment, a Pony Express rider should swear and sign to the frontier pledge of loyalty, of honesty, of sobriety, and that on the inside of the Bible it would say, I, your name, do hereby swear before the great and the living God that during my engagement, while I am an employee, I will under no circumstances use profane language, I will not quarrel or fight with any other employee in the firm, and that in every respect I will conduct myself honestly, be faithful to my duties, and so direct all of my acts to win the confidence of my employers, so help me God. The word of God was important to them as they carried it. Throughout history, it's been important to other people you may know. John Quincy Adams says, I have for many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once a year. George Washington said, it is impossible to govern the world or a nation without the Bible. Daniel Webster says, if we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will prosper. But if we, in our posterity, neglect the instructions and the authority in this book, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overtake us and bury our glory in profound obscurity. America today, the American public is mostly void of the Word of God. Christian America today, it's even sadder to realize that Christians are mostly also void of the Word of God. A Gallup poll said that 60% of Americans only attend church once a month. Out of those who do attend, only 12% read their Bibles faithfully. The International Bible Readers Association reports that 85% of professing Christians have never read through the entire Bible. Americans have become habitual non-readers. Tom Houston, the former president of World Vision, says, it's not just that the majority of the people in the third world are not yet literate or that they're not able to read. It is that the majority of the people in our Western countries, like the United States, are habitual non-readers. How long does it take to read the Bible? If you read or listened to someone reading at the typical speaking rate, it would take 10 to 12 minutes to read through the Bible once a day in a year. If you spent 30 minutes a day, you could get through the New Testament in only 5 weeks. If you spent an hour a day, you'd be through the whole Bible in 2.5 months. If you wanted to read the entire New Testament, it would take you 18 and a half hours, or the entire Old Testament, which would take you 54 hours. Therefore, roughly 72 hours to complete the whole Bible. So if you'd like to take a 3-day weekend and in one sitting work through 72 hours straight, you can get through the Bible in a weekend. Practical, not very much. The elders and the leaders of this church want you to experience the Bible as we read together in 2019. We, as a church body, want to do this together at a pace in which is reasonable. A commitment to read or to listen to the Bible only 10 or 12 minutes a day will keep us all on track to read through the Bible in 1 year. Let us look first at the passion to know God's word. This is the passion of the psalmist. King David here, most likely the author, says, verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all of the day. This is a note of exclamation here. He's proclaiming this, oh, how I love your law. David wants to express his love, yet in an attempt to share this, he perceives that it's inexpressible. He therefore cries, oh, how I love. David says, oh, how I love your law. Nothing was more important to him than meditating on God's word. This is the passion of the psalmist. This is also the passion of Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verses 17 to 21, Jesus is now returning to Nazareth, knowing that he will be rejected, yet he holds fast to the word of God, and he reads from the prophet Isaiah. And it says, verse 17, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all there in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This was the passion to read God's word to Jesus. It was also the passion of Paul. 2 Timothy 4, verse 13, he says, "When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. Also bring the books, and above all, bring the parchments." You see, although Paul knew that his death was imminent, he was concerned about getting the simple things he had, his clothes, his official documents, his personal correspondence, and most likely he's concerned about getting his copy of the Old Testament. Paul had a passion for reading and memorizing God's word, especially in times of trial. He desired to have his Bible in order to study it and to continue the work of the gospel. This is the passion of Paul. This is also the passion of the saints, the martyrs, those of the faith that have gone before us. They meditated on God's word. I'd like to introduce you to a few of them. First is Eusebius of Caesarea. He was a Christian historian. He died in 339. He told a story of a believer who had loved God's word so much and memorized so much of God's word that when he was captured for treason, they burned his eyes out, yet he could still recite the scriptures which he had learned from a young lad. Next is Theodosius the Younger. He died in 450. He memorized the entire Bible. Two men here, one Thomas Cranmer, leader of the English Reformation, and Nicholas Ridley, Bishop of England, had memorized the entire New Testament. Theodore Beza, French theologian, and he was a disciple of John Calvin, could repeat all of Paul's epistles in Greek at the age of 80. So I have about 45 more years to keep practicing. And lastly, Joshua Barnes. He was a Greek scholar, an antiquarian. He read through the Bible 120 times. We must have a passion to know God's word. You see, the purpose of our Bible reading is that we would be conformed to the image of Christ. Romans 8, 28 and 29 say, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined." Why? To be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. David exclaims, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all of the day." Let us look secondly to the practice to read God's word. Psalm 119, 98 through 102. I'm going to give you some words to underline as we go through these verses that I think would stick out for you. Verse 98, he says, "Your commandment," underline, "makes me wiser." "Your commandment," he says, "makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me." David read the law, and he had a better understanding that was always with him. He carried these things. He hid them within his heart. Verse 99, underline, "I have more understanding." I have more understanding than all of my teachers, he says, "for your testimonies are my meditation." David understood that the knowledge that he was receiving was not mere just education. It was knowledge of God's word, of the truths that he gave, that must be practically lived out in his life. "Your testimonies are my meditation." Verse 100. "I understand more than the aged, for I understand, I keep your precepts." David is saying here that his understanding comes from his obedience and from his practice, not merely by just growing old, because he kept the precepts. Verse 101, underline, "I hold back my feet from every evil way." He says, "I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word." David was striving here to avoid sin and to do his Bible reading, things that he failed in and we will fail in, but both are the effect and the means of increasing in understanding. God uses these things to hold us back from that which he would not want us to be a part of. In verse 102, underline, I do not turn aside from your rules. David says, I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. David is only able and does obey through the prompting of the Holy Spirit in his heart, in his mind, which is being illuminated, and God works and molds him. No mortal teacher can provide this for him. 1 Timothy 4:7 says that we are to train ourselves for godliness. And in order to train, we need to have tools to prepare us. And I want to share with you 7 tools here this morning to experience God's word together in 2019. These tools will help you in the practice to read God's word. The first tool is, well, we need to read God's word. We need to have a plan. We need to begin with prayer, perhaps. Psalm 119, 18 says, open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things of your law. You need to read it personally. It has to be before you. I suggest maybe you mark your Bibles while you read. You know, I wasn't and still not a big Bible marker because this is my preaching Bible and I have my studying Bible and they look so nice. I don't like to mark them. But it's so important to me. I went and purchased a Bible and I marked that Bible. So whether I'm on vacation or I'm studying, that's the Bible in which I do all my marking. And I enjoy it very much. One day in St. Louis, Missouri, a young convert walked into the office of C.E. Paxson and found him with a brand new copy of the scriptures. Paxson was marking his Bible with a pencil. The young Christian explained, "You're spoiling that beautiful text." The older saint took the Bible and walked over to him and opened up Acts chapter 8, verse 5. And he put his pencil next to the verse, which said, "And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to the people and drew a line to verse 8, which said, and there was great joy in that city." Years later, that young Christian, now known as C.I. Schofield, would attribute that event as the inspiration for the now famous Schofield Reference Bible. As you read God's word, mark your Bible. Look for the promises that it contains, for the commands that it gives. Look for moments of thanksgiving, moments of joy, examples to follow, and sins to avoid. Read again and meditate on a key thought. Write down what God has taught you. And praise the Lord for giving you his word every day. Tool number 2 is to hear God's word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. A Southern California Institute study shows that the average American drives about 13,000 miles every year. They went on to say that if that time were used to listen to educational materials, in 3 years, an individual would gain about a 2-year college degree. Perhaps you want to redeem your driving in 2019. We've provided you those instruction sheets in the foyer that you can download that free Bible app and the ESV plan, and you can listen to God's word every day as you drive around town to work, to church, or to school. Faith comes from hearing. Let's plan to hear God's word next year. According to another study by Stanford University, it takes hearing something 7 times in order to form an opinion. It takes an additional 7 times to internalize that which was heard. And a person must hear a truth 11 times in order to change a false conception or false understanding. This is why God's word is intertwined and it repeats itself multiple times in different ways. It's helpful for our understanding, and our God knew that. There's a story about 3 sons who left home and went out and prospered each on their own. And getting back together, they discussed the gifts that they were able to give to their elderly mother for Christmas that year. The first said, "Well, I built a big, beautiful house for her to live in. The second said, I sent her a brand new Mercedes with a driver. And the third smiled and said, well, I have you all beat. You remember how much Mom enjoyed reading her Bible? And you know that she can't sing or see very well anymore? I sent her this remarkable parrot that can recite the entire Bible. The son said, it took the elders of the church 12 years to teach the parrot the whole Bible. He's one of a kind. All Mom has to do is tell him the chapter and the verse, and the parrot recites it to her. Soon thereafter, the mom sent out her letters of thanks to the three sons. To the first, Milton, she wrote, the house you built is so large. I only live in one room, yet I have to clean the rest of the house. Gerald, she wrote to the second son, I'm too old to travel. I stay home most of the time, so I rarely use the Mercedes, and the driver is so rude. And dearest Donald, she wrote to the third son, you have the good sense to know what your mother likes. The parrot or the chicken was delicious. What good is God's word if we don't first read it and hear it on our own? Tool number three, we need to study God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has not to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. We want to experience the word of God together in 2019. And we're going to do it by reading book by book through the Bible. And there are four readings that you'll do from a different portion of the scripture, so we're not stuck in the same book, trudging through it every day. These plans have been provided for you, and the readings are divided into four main sections. The sections are the Psalms and the wisdom literature, the Pentateuch and the history of Israel, the Chronicles and the prophets, and the Gospels and the epistles. The list of readings from the Psalms and the wisdom literatures, you'll see, will begin and will end our year with special readings that were most appropriate for that season in our lives. The list of readings from the Pentateuch and the history of Israel is read from our Bibles as they were laid out and continues through the five books of Moses. And then, chronologically, through the history of the Old Testament, and then we'll close out the year with the sufferings of Job. When you get to the readings from the Chronicles and the Prophets, you'll begin with the chronicler's history of the people of God from Adam through to the exile. It's then followed by the major and the minor prophets, which are organized chronologically rather than the order in which the Bible has organized them. If you're going to read your Bible next year and hear the Bible next year, we ought to study our Bibles next year. Tool number four is that we meditate on God's word. I'm going to read a variety of verses all throughout Psalm 119. Verse 15 says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Verse 23 says, even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Verse 27 and 28, make me understand the way of your precepts. I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Verse 48, I will lift up my hands towards your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Verse 78, let the insolent be put to shame, because they have wronged me with falsehood. But as for me, I will meditate on your precepts. In Psalm 119, verses 148, it says, my eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I might meditate on your promise. The New Testament, 1 Timothy 4:15, says we should practice these things. We should immerse ourselves in them so that all may see our progress. I love how the King James Version puts 1 Timothy 4:15. It says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditation here means to focus on God's word, to cultivate our understanding. Let's look at tool number five, memorizing God's word. Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When I was young, I was taught the commandments of Bible memorization, of choosing your verse, of studying the verse thoroughly, of setting a special time for memorization and reading and review, writing the verse on a card, learning the verse by a subject, reading the verse aloud and memorizing it phrase at a time, repeating the reference before, during, and after, learning 1 to 3 verses a week, repeating them daily for 7 days, weekly for a month, monthly for a year, sharing the new verses that you learn with friends, including that Bible memorization in our family worship and our family devotion. We want you to experience God's word in 2019. Let us also memorize God's word and share it with one another as we all read the same scripture together every day. Tool number 6 is to heed God's word. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, "How can that young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word." To take heed here is to pay attention to take heed is to apply the truth personally. 2 Peter 1:19 says, "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention to as a lamp shining in a dark place." Why? For until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. What does it mean to you? You see, often today, many people don't use their minds anymore. We're so inclined to entertainment to be provided for us that we no longer think. Paul warned Timothy that the day would come when people would want entertainment rather than the deep things of God. 2 Timothy 4:2 through 5 says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but will have itching ears, that they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They will turn away from listening to the truth, and they'll wander off into myths. As for you, be always sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill the ministry that God has given to you." You see, it's the pastor's role here at the Oak to exegete and to expound the scriptures for us. The pastor identifies the principles of God's word. But it is the individual's job to apply them to ourselves. With every Bible passage you read in 2019, ask yourself, how does this scripture and the principle that it gives relate to my life? For you'll see that the principles never change. It's simply the application of those principles at our stages in life. And tool number 7 is holding fast to God's word. Philippians 2:16 says, "Hold fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain." Hold fast to God's word. This holding fast or holding forth shows that our obedience to the word of life is not just a private concern. Genuine believers will long and labor for God's word in holding it fast until the day Christ returns. When I was a young man, I was in a Wednesday night Bible club similar to what we do here at the Oak. And we would sing the song saying, "Holding forth the word of life, not by power nor by might, pressing on to victory in the power of the King. We must conquer, will not fail, by his power prevail, never turning back at all, obedient to the heavenly call." So pressing on in one accord in the power of the Lord, turning darkness into light, holding forth the word of life. It's a cheer, and it's hard not to cheer it when I do it. It's an exciting thing to hold forth the word of God, hold fasting to the word of God. Live it before your friends. Live it before your neighbors. Invite people that you know to join you and experience God's word next year. And thank God that this church provides a community to read the Bible together with. And lastly, let's look at the promise to commit to God's word. Psalm 119, 103, and 104 says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I will get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." My daughter often says, why can't we say the word hate? Well, most of the time, it's not in the context in which we should be using it. But here, through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. I remove it from me in every way that I can. I hate it. I despise it. This is what Christ took to pay a penalty for us on the cross. I hate every false way. David is expressing the love that he took in the discoveries of the Word of God, the discoveries of the divine that he's learning, the discoveries of the grace and the healing that he's finding in God's Word. He must read it first to learn these things. There was no pleasure that David could share that was sweeter than to God's word. Even in Job's life, in his darkest of hours, in Job 23:12, he says, "I have departed from the commandment of your lips," or "I have not departed. I have treasured the words of your mouth more than my portion of food." See, Job knew that he needed to commit to God's word. David knew he needed to commit to God's word. Jesus knew he needed to commit to God's word. Paul knew this. The saints knew this. Do we know that this morning, that we need to commit to God's word? Because of the precepts and the commands of God, he's provided us true, useful, and a wonderful saving knowledge. "By this, everything which is contrary to the truth, all false doctrine, all false worship, all sinful ways, we will hate them and we will flee from them." How? By the power of his word. We must have the passion to know God's word. We must have a practice to read God's word. And we must have the promise to commit to God's word. The elders in the church here invite every boy and girl, every man and woman here, with this love and affection for God's word, to join us on this adventure. My question to you is, will you commit to experience God's word together in 2019? Let us pray this morning. Dear Lord, we pray for a deeper understanding of your word. Heavenly Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, you cause this to be written for our learning. Lord, we pray that we would diligently study your word, that we would read and mark, and we would learn and inwardly digest all that you have graciously provided for us. Why, Lord, that we may come to a knowledge of salvation, the work that your Son Jesus Christ has done on the cross to pay a penalty for our sins. Your Lord, then your will be what is most important in our lives. Lord, open our eyes of understanding and prepare our hearts by the power of your Spirit, that we may receive your word with much joy and rejoicing, and that we may leave having a deeper understanding of who you are. May we, like Job, wonder at your glory and your majesty as we unfold the precious truths that are contained within its pages. And may we cry like him. "I have heard of you with my ears, but now you've opened my eyes to the spiritual truths and understanding that I never had before." This we ask in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.